this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? It's another summer Muppetry podcast, sir. We're in the dog days of summer. Euros are almost coming to a close this Sunday, the day of the final, an hour and change before England takes on Italy to see who's crowned Euro champion. But here we are. We're talking about Manchester United. We're talking about transfers. We're talking about summer Muppetry. We got one in the door. Jadon Sancho, done deal. But we need more. Mo Betta, how you feeling?
Sir, I mean, I haven't really been thinking about United too much. Not a lot of news. You know, Varane, silent. Camavinga silent. You know, some deals are being done, but I can't. The overwhelming, you know, noise on social media is it's coming home. England, Italy today noon. It's 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Yep, we do it early, sir. We're well caffeinated here in the bunker, ready to talk everything Manchester United. But a big European final. I think we would be remiss if we didn't say what we thought about it. We got Manchester United players playing in it. I think that's really the highlight post Euros. Then we'll go right back in the transfer Muppetry. Sir, what do you make of England versus Italy? Who do you got? Who do you think is going to win?
You know, on paper, you would say who's got the better team, who's got the better players? Arguably, it's England. They probably have a more stacked roster. But I think if you look at how the two teams play through this tournament, Italy look like the stronger team in terms of how they kind of play as a team. So it's going to be a tough one. Lineup already leaked, sir. They're doing a back three. You know, I think that's giving a little bit too much credit to Italy. I would have liked to see Southgate just like take his powerful players and kind of go for it, try and score goals. This is a very conservative lineup. But we'll see, sir. I bet Italy 2-1 because I think, you know, I could see them eking it out.
So you got some Italian in you.
I got some Italian in me.
You're a little biased here. So any take here, the best part about this is you're going to be listening to this podcast. You're going to know who won. You're going to know if we're right or wrong. Sir, I'm taking England.
There you go.
Sir, 60% English per 23andMe.com. London, Manchester, they're all in me. Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, let's go. I mean, I'm just pumped because we got United players on England. Got to go all in on England. I think the issue with England, there's a lot of parallels with Manchester United. That Ferrari, they got the players. Stop, start, stop, start. You know, some games are off, some games they're on. Southgate, a little too conservative, not playing Jadon Sancho. What you smoking, Southgate?
No,
what's in that pipe? I don't know. Unbelievable stuff. So they're kind of fighting the headwinds of a conservative manager with this unbelievable roster that you think if you just had some cojones like LVG, sir, you know, the way he would do it back in the day.
And only in sex masochism, then it is allowed.
Sex masochism can you put Sancho, Grealish, Rashford, everybody up there.
Or at least somebody. But he's going conservative today. Only a front three of attacking players. I like that parallel. But I think it's a good point. It's also like who's been playing well, who's not been playing well. They still don't get the credit they deserve. Because I tell you what, if Harry Maguire or Luke Shaw play for Liverpool, they'd be talking our ears off about how great of a tournament they've had. Because they have. They've been kind of like the standout players. Harry especially kind of reconfirmed his dominance as just a world-class center back, and I think he showed it at the World Cup. Then he had the whole incident in Greece. A lot of shit talking, obviously, because he's United captain, top defender in the world, right, in terms of transfer fees, £80 million. But he's had an unbelievable tournament. So has Luke. Luke looks like one of the best left backs in the world. And that's been great to see. The attackers, not so much. Jadon had a couple sniffs in the game before last. He looked pretty good. Rashford has basically been non-existent. But I think he's still carrying that injury, so it's understandable. We talked about it last podcast about, you know, should he be playing? Should he be getting the surgery right away? Either way, he'll probably be getting surgery tomorrow, sir, if people are on top of things. But should be a good end to a very exciting tournament all in all. And you know what? The resurgence of Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire has got to be the top of everyone's mind. If they do take it home, they're going to have a big part to play in it.
Yeah, and as a United fan, you got to be hoping that they kind of get a taste of winning. You know, obviously that sting of that Villarreal final, sir, you know,
still
that final it still haunts my dreams, those penalties, everything about it. So it would be nice for them to cap the summer off with a trophy
England's been hell of a drought. So it's about time. Not quite about 5x the drought United have had, maybe 10x even since 1966, since Sir Bobby Charlton lifted the World Cup, sir. You can't believe it. England hasn't won something that long.
No, it's incredible. And I'm rooting for England for sure. It was just that 2-1 money line with Italy. That's a tough bet, especially because Italy's a very strong team. But I'd love to see them win it. Love to see them win it just because England, you know, they're due. They haven't won it, like you said, since 66. They haven't won anything since 66. And the United boys, right? We got nobody on the Italian squad, but we got two big, big players that, you know what, if they get a taste of it, actually four big players, two of it, which won't really feature, being Marcus and Jaden. But if they do win it, it's going to be huge for the confidence of Harry Maguire, who seems to be growing year in, year out in terms of like just his status in the back line. And I think it'll push on and kind of give the team a little bit more confidence heading into 21-22 season and for the Premier League. Take it home. 21. That's what we really care about, taking home.
21/22, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. We have a season-ending survey that is up. We are the American Red Devils. We are for fans by fans. We run a season-ending survey every year so we can get your feedback and we can make this podcast better. It's just me and Alex in the bunker giving me that biased fan take. But we're always trying to get better, sir. If you can believe it or not, this is not our full-time job.
Shocking.
We just like to talk Manchester United. Absolutely love this club. Check out our season ending survey. It's pinned on Twitter. Click on it. Probably takes 5 minutes and you can win $100 in American Red Devil swag. We got blankets. We got shirts, scarves, etc. We'll be giving out a hook any fan. Hook one fan up who wins the contest. You can support us on Patreon as well. This is probably the best way to support independent fan content. We think we're targeting 100 Patreon subscribers. I think we're in the mid-50s. If you like the podcast, we do a behind-the-scenes episode every single month where we answer your questions, get into everything American Red Devils. You can support us on there, $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away pin stickers, scarf shirts, you name it. Big shout-out to our new Patreon subscribers, Jordan Robinson. Shout-out to you, NJ in the house, Aiden Lacombe, and Marie out in the UK. She was a season ticket holder for a long time. So big shout out to Marie for supporting us as well. Thank you so much, our Patreon subscribers. You guys are the real MVPs. Check out our blog, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on merch. We're working on our new scarves. We got all the Glazers Out stuff on sale, sir. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a terrific way to support the pod, and they don't cost any money at all. Here's what you do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it has cheeky banner, even better. We love it. We love to read them. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you some free Stanley Chow design stickers right to your door. ASAP Rocky, doesn't cost a dime. And it goes a long way to helping us get found organically, and it helps us out big time. So if you could do it, it is appreciated. Great way to support the pod, sir. What are we talking about? What we got?
Let's jump in. United in the news, the latest transfer muppetry from the Twitterverse, from the truth, Fabrizio Romano. Sir, Fabrizio Romano, just telling it like it is. The latest on Varane. Manchester United have asked Varane 1 week ago on direct contact, but otherwise there's no official bid waiting for Real Madrid price tag. Sir, we have been in contact with them. You are following Varane. You're a big fan.
Big fan of the Frenchman. He's a player. We talked about this. We've talked about this ad nauseum for the last 3-4 months or that we've been attached to for a decade, you know, because when he originally made the switch to Real Madrid, we were the club that he was considering. What's his name? Zidane swooped in at that point. I think he was an assistant coach. Anyway, obviously he went to Real Madrid. The rest is history, but now he's 28. He's in the last year of his contract. World Cup winner, 4-time Champions League winner. Ridiculous. Or he's won more than United has, which is sad to say in that regard. And I think he'd be a great addition to the team. Wants to get paid fat buckets of cash. Huge amounts of money. More than Real Madrid were willing to offer. I think they were offering 2+1. We're offering 4+5. Big money deal. He'd be one of the highest paid players in the Premier League. But are in the know. And you know, I bite full Muppet, sir. That's what I do. That's my role in the pod. I always love those in the nose on the Twitter. We got one on the Discord. Check it out in the transfer news section of the American Red Devils Discord. It's worth a laugh. But he is saying this deal is done and dusted. It's just the quiet before the storm. It's going to come out next week or two announced. But Varane, done deal. On to the next one.
So you know what's going to come down to?
Here comes the money. Money.
Yes, basically. Sir, he's trying to get paid,
bills,
bro. And I got no problem.
Bills,
I got no problem being the guy that's going to pay Varane big money.
That's what it's all about. It's at the end of the day, it's the money for Real Madrid. They're motivated sellers. They're broke as a joke. But again, Florentino Perez, nothing's going to be easy there. So when you come to negotiating with Spanish clubs, it's a lot of posturing. Real Madrid as well. They got to look like the winners. So you almost have to pay them stupid money, offensive money, where there's like 1 year left. We'll have to overpay. Everyone knows to put Ed Woodward over the barrel. They only got like, what, 6 more months to just like get all the money out of Eddie. I think there's a deal to do based on Real Madrid needing to sell. Manchester United willing to pay pretty good money. 1 year left on the deal. And it all comes down to, where does Ron want to go? If he actually does want to come to Manchester, I see this deal happening. But again, I don't have Ron on the text, so I can't ask him.
I mean, that's the only thing that kind of like turns my head. If this was a Sergio Ramos a couple of years ago, Sergio Ramos says prime, we bid on that one. That was obviously false, using it for a contract renegotiation. But this one, like, he actually did want to go to United before he went to Real Madrid. He was a boyhood Manchester United fan. Rio Ferdinand was his favorite player. So there are legs, and apparently Rio is doing some behind the scenes work to try and like convince Varane to make the move now. And I like the fact that you pay a little bit more now, right? A year before his contract, because next year
there'd be a lot more competition for his
free agent contract next year versus if you buy him now and pay the upfront fee, which not everyone's willing to do. You get first dibs. That's all I wanted to finish saying. PSG might be at the table next year. Chelsea might be at the table next year if he's a free agent. It just changes the dynamic a little bit.
Same thing with Camavinga, but what I'm trying to say is at the end of the day, are in the know, self-proclaimed in the know, who got Sancho right. You know, I mean, that didn't get it on the right day. We got Sancho right. I mean, everyone got Sancho right. I think that's pretty clear, sir. That's not like a big proving point that you're actually in the know. I'm going to be the other side on the in the know. Be like,
no.
No.
I'm the in the know, you're the no.
Well, hey, I grew up in New Jersey, sir. A lot of people try to pull fast ones on you in the Garden State. I've been used to have been burned in the past, so now I'm skeptical. Hippo on in the nose. You buy it hook, line, and sinker. Given her in the nose says 100%. What's your percentage, sir?
I think this one, you know, I'm pretty like a 90 to 95%. I'm pretty confident. I think like it makes sense. Real Madrid are a willing seller. We're a willing buyer. Center back is the priority. I think even center back is sir. Hit that soundboard.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. That's what I'm saying. You buy this stock. It's like buying Amazon in 2005. So you buy it. He's obviously 28, but he's a veteran experience. He's a perfect complement to Harry Maguire.
Sir, no terms with Madrid. No terms.
According to only Romano. Only Romano.
So Romano is actually in the know, and you know he has built a solid business around being right about everything and being qualified. So when he says there's no deal with Madrid, there's no deal with Madrid. I believe Romano. I'm trying to cut through the noise on Twitter, not get my hope up. For me, it's like 50-50 because you got to negotiate with Perez. And they got a lot of deals going on. You have to think if they're Pogba, PSG, Camavinga, and then Varane, and that's a lot of deals to do. And there's going to be an offensive. The next thing you're going to hear is going to be like, "Oh, too much money for Madrid." That's going to be the next deal.
That means the deal's already done.
Because you know what they do. That's how we got it right where we want them.
I think they're the structuring phase. They want too much money,
and Woodward doesn't want to pay it. We got him right where we want him. Yeah, that's exactly it. Oh, we'll pay you at the last day. Yeah,
they're going to spend money this summer. The heat is on. We're boycotting sponsors. They know that, like, you know, they had a hard time selling out season tickets. Shout out American Red Devils, official season ticket holders of the greatest club in the history of the world, Manchester United. Still buzzing off that. But all I'm saying is I think they know they got to make moves. This is a great opportunity to pick up a world-class talent for a reasonable price. They're saying £47 million is what they want. It just feels believable enough. They're not asking for 80. If it was 80, then there's no deal happening.
It's quite a bit of money.
It is.
It would be record-breaking for 1 year left on a contract, probably. Somebody check that for me on Twitter. Next one, segueing in a similar type of situation, Camavinga. I mean, he's the new thing. Everyone wants him in the midfield. We're talking Pogba PSG from Romano. Again, cutting through the noise here. Manchester United are progressing in direct context to sign Eduardo Camavinga. This one is heated up. Rennes would be open to negotiating on a potential €30 million fee as they lose Camavinga for free next summer. He's one of Manchester United's long-term targets. PSG have always been interested. And then the next one from him, Manchester United will try to sign Eduardo Camavinga this summer as they know they'd face a lot of competition next year when Camavinga could leave Rennes as a free agent. I love this deal. Makes total sense. But again, similar with Ahmad,
You need the guy before Ahmad. So you need Sancho, then you sign Ahmad. Then you need Rice or somebody. Then you need
plus him.
Kamavinga. Kamavinga ain't going to come in and fill Paul Pogba's shoes. That's just setting him up for failure. Clearly, we got Fred and we got McTominay. You add Kamavinga. You got Modric as well. I think that is, you could get through a season, but losing Paul Pogba, you're going to hurt, right?
Well, he's not an easy player to replace. He's probably, you argue there's no other player at the moment that plays world football like Paul Pogba. I just want to tell a little side story. It's Ren, I believe.
Rennes.
Rennes, yeah, this guy. I thought you were French, sir. But my favorite story is I'm coming over to this guy's house last weekend, and I go down, and he's got a whole set of all these screens. He's got a highlight video of Kamavinga. I was like, what's going on with Kamavinga? He's like, yo, bro, Romano, news just broke. We're in on him. So I love how the Muppetry game works. We're all in. It's sure. Like you don't look up the video until Romano says we're
no,
in on him.
No, so I'm somebody awesome. Who has that. Been burnt by in the nose and all the hope that goes along with signing players that I just wait for Romano to tweet it and then I'll watch a highlight video. So yes.
I love that. I
do not watch highlights unless Romano says it. So
No. So but you make a good point. Pogba, this is kind of like the dance, right? Because Pogba goes to PSG. Then they're going to be less interested in making a move for Kamavinga. It kind of let us, and then we're bringing a direct replacement who's probably not ready right now. But like you said, Kamavinga is a great long-term target, super talented, 18 years old. He has like an Ahmad vibe, but we do need someone that's ready to jump right, hit the ground running because you want to challenge this year. And is Kamavinga the guy that's going to put you in a position to challenge this year? Probably not. But he could be a long-term option with like an Ahmad, a Greenwood, a Rashford, a Sancho. Ooh, that's a lot of talent.
Sir, you know what I like this deal both ways. Pogba goes, we need him, obviously. Pogba stays, you get him. Pogba leaves, he's got a year under his belt in the EPL. My view if Pogba leaves and we just get Kamavinga, it's the same thing Laurent Blanc told us in the elevator at the Lowry Hotel. We were in Manchester for the PSG Champions League game after we lost.
Say it.
Too light. Our midfield would be too light, sir. And it's like, if you just got Kamavinga, Modric, Fred, McTominay, too light.
Donnie. But you're right. No, you're still right. You need a...
Donnie is going to be playing... I think of him as a 10, right? You think of our 10s, yeah. You know...
Six.
I don't know. He hasn't excelled there. I'd put him on in a game there if we needed a goal, but I don't know if I would be like starting him next to Fred to hold it down in the middle of the park in the English Premier League, sir.
That's a good point. You know, I'm no tactical genius. That was one of the feedback we got on the pod. I wish I knew more. You can always learn more. Where he fits in, I mean, he can play as a CDM. He's probably like needs a little bit more experience before he'd be your lone CDM in the EPL. Probably needs a couple years to grow into that. But I tend to agree. You get him. It's really hard to get a Kamavinga and a Rice just because Rice is going to cost so much money. Jesse Lingard's already on his way back.
No, we're segueing. Okay, Kamavinga, we dealt with it. We both want him. We'll keep you posted. Now we're going to talk, obviously, Paul Pogba. But before we get into the Paul Pogba, we got to talk Declan Rice, England Euro performance. Watched a lot of England in the Euros.
What do you think?
Declan Rice, he ain't worth...
No, I know. 80. He ain't worth 60. He probably is maybe
worth
40.
30, bro. No. He's like a 35, dude. Yeah. He is...
He's not 80.
He has done... Like, honestly, watching him, he's gotten burnt. He works. He looks haggard. I haven't seen anything from him going forward. I mean, obviously that position isn't too sexy, but you know what I see in a Modric. Obviously, Modric is aging. Sir, Rice is not worth the cash to play. I don't think he can play at United. I mean, I haven't watched EPL Rice highlights. I mean, maybe those would prove me wrong a little bit there. But what I've seen from him in the Euros, what I saw from Sancho was just like unbelievable. You know, so glad we signed him. Rice, like, I'm good.
No, and I tend to agree. Also, there's a player that, you know what?
Overvalued. He's overvalued.
Without a doubt. There's always going to be the English component where they overvalue their players, especially if they're trading in the Premier League. The player that I want to sign, if you have the two of them, is the other CDM playing next to him. Kevin Phillips looks like a better player, more dynamic, offers more both offensively and defensively, and you probably get him for a slightly cheaper price. Obviously, going from Leeds is never easy. I can't think we saw anyone.
Know. Look, we all hate Leeds scum, number one, but number two,
so what?
I don't think I need to be overpaying for English CDMs. I Kamavinga interests me much more. He's not the final product. We almost need like another player who's Leeds. Like, you know, young 20s. You know, we need like a Conte is what we need. And yeah, obviously there's only one Conte, but we need someone who can model that so you can maybe play one holding midfielder, then play two like a Donny. you know, I think that'd be much more interesting.
No, and that's really like the move, because I think it already priced out of Declan Rice. I think you make a move for Kamavinga first, and apparently a bid's going in early this week. That's what the in the know is saying. We're getting the war started, the bidding war. You get him and you get like a Yves Bissouma, someone that you can get from a lower rated Premier League side at Brighton. You would pay 40, 45 with the United pricing, based
that's
on
a better price,
but that's better than paying 80 for Declan Rice. The England, and also apparently Chelsea are really hot for him. So I agree with you. Declan Rice looks like way overpriced. I'll tell you who looks like he's worth every dollar though. Is Luke Shaw.
Hey, watch Rice versus Flabhead. Watch Rice versus Jorginho in the midfield today. That will tell you a lot. Hey, look, he can step up today. He can score a banger, win the Euros for England. So mark my words, sir. We shall see. Let's jump into the Paul Pogba muppetry. Obviously, 1 year left on the deal. United would take a solid amount of cash. I'm afraid Ed Woodward would overvalue this.
Right.
Now, as far as Paul Pogba is concerned, you know, you're kind of on the Pog out train right now. You're kind of like, hey, you did me dirty so many times. It's probably time for you to leave. Look, pay me for Paul Pogba so we can do some other interesting business. And I think that's good. I think what we're seeing right now at Manchester United, the rumors of Bruno New Deal, Sancho, Rashford, Greenwood, you're starting to see like the Manchester United for the next 5 to 7 years.
Right.
And Paul Pogba is not a part of that team.
No.
I think it's very clear that United might throw a deal at him. But given where his head's at, if we're really honest, you wouldn't be talking to leave the club every single transfer window if you really didn't want to leave the club. So I haven't seen any. I've seen professionalism from him playing with us and, you know, keeping his lid shut ever since RB Leipzig, which you appreciate as a fan, honestly. I was surprised he did it. So shout out to Paul P for just, you know, keeping his head down and grinding for Manchester United like he should, because he's on a lot of money. And I think he had a great attitude this season after that incident, sir. So now if you want to leave, Manchester United should get out of the way and they should let Paul Pogba leave. I think PSG is a great place for him. I think we can get a solid amount of cash. I think that can fuel Bissouma signing.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think to the future. I'm not trying to think to the past. Paul Pogba represents like the Lukaku, the Sanchez, that type of United. I'm looking at strong youth coming up, long-term contracts, United. I like this United. I like where we're going. And Paul Pogba's not part of it. He could do another year. But at the end of the day, this whole thing's over for me anyway. And if he wants to leave, let him.
No, I agree. If he's leaving anyway, might as well get a little bit of coin for him just so we can make moves earlier. Obviously, you could say, oh, he could add a lot of value next year, be a part if you're going for number 21 Premier League title. But I tend to agree. The guy's wanted to leave for a long time. Let's let him leave. Let's bring some other young, talented, hungry midfielders that want to play for Manchester United and go from there. Let him go on his way. PSG is very on brand for Paul Pogba. That seems just about right. It's like, go play in Paris with Neymar. You guys have a great time playing against Rennes. Rennes.
Sir, I'm never going to get French league names right.
Sir, I bottle so many Rennes names. I'm just kidding.
Sir, I can say Rennes all day. I'm from Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. Yeah. I said Rennes. sir, we go on Paul P.
We're good.
Again, I was just going to say, this comes down to what Paul Pogba wants. So I'm not going to say, hey, Paul Pogba, you get out of here and don't let the door hit you on the way out. It's like, I want Paul Pogba to be happy. I don't think, you know, I learned a lot from the Ronaldo saga, you know, heartbroken at the end of the day. But if a player wants to leave as a club, there's no advantage in keeping him, right? Because the whole issue with Fergie is you saw how he dealt with it. The minute the player wanted to leave, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Get
and I think
him.
That's it. It's like, look, we're building something here. We're trying to win trophies. We got players that are committed, pot committed. Bruno, pot committed. Sancho, pot committed. Rashford, Greenwood. So we can go down the list. A lot of players pot committed to this club, as you should be. And if Pogba's not, hey, Pogba, think about it this summer. If you're in, you're in. And if you're not, you're not. No big deal. And so if he's not, holding him for another year is probably not the best idea, because I have a feeling Paul Pogba will not be happy.
No, it's just better to just start afresh. Let him go to a place where he's going to be pumped to play. It's been obvious for a while. He's not super pumped on United. And I think Fergie, oftentimes, obviously knew best, right? And that's just the thing. Is like, you need to have everybody 100% bought in to the vision and exactly what you're trying to accomplish. And if you have a player that's thinking about greener pastures, then that, dude, that can break the whole mold right there. So you need to make sure that everybody is bought in, especially a player that senior in the squad that a lot of the younger guys are going to look up to. Dude, they got to be playing for that badge, bro. That Team Viewer badge. Those new kits leaked, sir. How you feel about that?
Sir, look, you know, the kit is the kit is the kit.
That's a not answer if I've ever heard one.
It just is. It's just like whatever. I'm trying to focus on the team, not the kit. You know, the kit is something that used to be awesome, and you know, it's kind of gone sideways. You know, Chevrolet, Adidas, whatever you want to say. You know, looking at these Nike kits, photos of these Nike kits bring me great memories, and maybe it's just the form we've been in that ruins the newer kits or what they represent to me. The LVG signings, you know, all that stuff. So I have a bad taste in my mouth there. As far as, you know, just thinking this team right now, it's like Paul Pogba, leave or stay, you know, Kamavinga. We're on a knife's edge as far as what could happen next season. And the Glazers, obviously, we got to say, hey, hashtag Glazers out all day, every day. They've been horrible owners for this club. We've always been daily a dollar short. We've always been missing that player. Last year, it was we needed a center back. We missed him. Probably need a right winger, too. We missed him. So we're trying to get that center back from last year, this year. And then we're always kind of 1 year behind, and we're hoping the youth can bail us out a little bit. So, you know, I just really think this summer is make or break for United. There's a lot of deals that can be done. I hope they can get it all right. But it seems like too much in the air to do a Pogba deal, to then find a replacement, Kamavinga, Varane. Feels like we're getting over our skis, and it's over August 30th. So, you know, there's probably about 6 weeks left.
And there's a lot of deals to still be done that you didn't even mention, sir. We have the goalie position we got to take care of. Phil Jones, we got to find him someplace to park his pink Ferrari, purple Lambo, whatever he's got. He's got something ridiculous. But there's a lot of business to be done. There's a lot of ins, but then there's going to be a lot of outs as well. What's going on with Martial? People talk about trading Donny van de Beek already, which seems crazy to me. I feel like that player's got so much talent and upside. So a lot of work for John Murtaugh, Woodward, Matt Judge. Oof, tough crew, sir. That's a JV crew that has a big summer ahead of them.
Absolutely. Next bit of news here. Inside the chaos at Manchester United, talk of preseason strike. Crisis talks with Ed Woodward and the substandard training facilities for the women's team. This is all per The Athletic. We have covered the women's team on www.americanreddevils.com and obviously talked about in the podcast. The facilities have been horrid. I just don't understand why they don't train at Carrington or why they don't have their own locker room. Seems strange, but apparently they have like porta potties and, you know, mobile shower facility. Terrible stuff. It's just like, what is this, non-league football? If you're going to do it, you got to do it right. It's like, I just don't understand this one. I understand the women's football team probably doesn't make as much money as the men's football team. But at the same time, you're Manchester United. You have the infrastructure. Like, it should be done right. You should take it seriously. You should be trying to win things. If I was the owner of Manchester United, my number one thing to do would be to replicate the success of the men's football team with the women's football team and give them everything they need to do that. And they're going to go on strike because, again, Woodward and the Glazers are only worried about money.
No, and this is why we included this story, because it's important to talk about. Like you said, you want the brand to be successful, whether it's the men's, the women's, the academy. So this is a bad look for United. This is probably speaks to the leadership of the Glazers. Has to remind people, you know, we got the Sancho deal and all of a sudden there's no Glazer out noise. You got to keep that going. Don't forget what they tried to do with the Super League. And this is a bad look. Casey Stone leaves after 1 year. She comes in, they're doing great things, attracts all these really talented players. And then now you're hearing that, like, they're playing second-rate facilities. Like you said, porta potties, no training grounds. All I'm saying is if you're going to do it, you should do it right, because it's a indication of how the club is run. And this is a bad look for United, and it just speaks to who's running this club, unfortunately.
No, totally. But it's just one of those things where, like, the coach is resigning. And as a fan, like, I'm interested in the women's product. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I don't want to watch women's football. It's like, I think the article came out when they're like, oh, they're playing at Old Trafford for the first time. I'm like, wait, they're not playing at Old Trafford? Like, why wouldn't they be playing at Old Trafford? Right. I mean, maybe if the fixtures at the same time, maybe. But you could schedule that around. It just seems like women's football in the UK is coming sort of, it's in its infancy. So why would you punish? Clearly, this is going to be popular in the future. If you think 20, 30 years down the line, this is going to be a competitive league. This is the beginning of it. And you have $600 million and £1 million in revenue. So why wouldn't you just give them like a proper facility to train? It just, again, like you said, Glazers don't have that vision of the club and where it's going and what, like, again, the stadium's crumbling right before our eyes. So
we could come up with a lot of points here how they're mismanaging this club.
And it's not that expensive to do right. You know, it's like the wages are much more more reasonable. Sir.
You can take a dividend, put it in, boom, you got a great facility.
Yeah, the best women's team in the world.
Exactly. Totally. Let's jump into fan questions. Thank you for everyone who got our got us questions today. We dropped this tweet earlier. At Reds of the West 1, just thought about just a thought, but no one talks about Di Maria with Argentina. We also, great point, we have to shout out Argentina for winning Copa America. Messi with his first major honor for Argentina. You'd love to see Messi. You know, I'm a fan. So anyone that good, you got to be a fan.
Totally. He's a hell of a player. Generational talent. Did us dirty a couple times, but no one can argue how good he is. Watching that game last night, I'll tell you what, it's like, compared to the Euros, it's borderline unwatchable. All the floppery, shithousery, sir. It's unbelievable. I mean, the Argentinians are the kings of that. So we played some football down in Argentina casually, and it's just, you almost have to tip your hat to how much shithousery there was yesterday.
Yeah, Alex was the keeper, and I swear to God that when he came to clear the ball, he punched an Argentinian in the head. It was like, the thing is, you don't know.
Give some context to that game. Like, they were like,
no. we were staying in a hostel. What was it?
Mendoza.
And it was like, oh, we got a soccer game. Let's play. We're like, yeah, of course we play. And we go to play, and then it's like Argentina versus us and some English guys. And it was just like, and they got
Who've been drinking all day? Who've been drinking wine all day?
Yeah, dude, they come 2 foot into me. It was like real fit. But Argentina's about that. They got the tattoos, they look like chippy football. And that's when you see, when you go to Argentina, you play some football, then you start seeing the Rojos of the world getting those yellows, the reds. You're like, okay, I play football with those guys. I know what they're about. And so they got a culture of that kind of chip on their shoulder. That's why Messi's so good at evading tackles, because he was getting them all day when he was young, sir, out in Rosario. Shout out. Look, I'm going to get back to this tweet. Just a thought, but no one talks about Di Maria with Argentina, but he's been on the team the entire time. Messi has also been chasing it. And in that final, he played better than Messi by a fair clip. I bet that win was just as satisfying for the noodle as it was for Leo. What do you make of Di Maria kind of not getting the pressure, but Messi getting all the pressure?
No, it's a good point. I mean, the thing is, when you're playing against, you're playing with the most famous player like of all time, arguably, one of the best players ever, it's easy to be overshadowed. Di Maria, I got a lot of strong, you know, feelings against the guy based on his tenure at Manchester United and how poorly that went. But watching the game last night, he scored the winner. Great goal. Could have had another one, arguably, but he kind of rolled his ankle and had this little incident where he had, went off the pitch. But I don't really like Di Maria. You know, snake, he's called
off. Why don't you like Di Maria?
Dude, he left Manchester United kind of like in not so the great terms.
His house got robbed.
I know his house, but a lot of players' house
got robbed. His family was there. You know,
that's pretty bad.
I think you moved to a place a month in, like, you know, your family's getting robbed.
He had to play with LVG, which probably isn't that easy.
Look, as far as Di Maria goes, wasn't meant to be. See you later. He went on his way. That's totally fine. I don't really care about him. He does show, it's like, for me, he's a type of player who he's got it, but every fifth match. He's world-class every fifth match. And so we saw it at United, like where he pulled something out of his hat and boom. And so, yeah, he had a great final. Messi, he gets all the pressure because he is, you know, arguably the best of a generation. And he's compared, because Di Maria is not compared to Maradona. And again, getting back to our travels through through Argentina, which is probably a month, the statues of Maradona in Argentina, it's like he is like,
he's a god.
He's like, yeah, like Jesus. You know, they got more statues of Maradona than Jesus down there. It's unbelievable.
That's funny.
No, sorry. It's like he's just, and so if you think about like culturally, what he represented to them, and then kind of what Messi was supposed to be and how he hasn't been. So like a big trophy for him. Hopefully it's gonna be exciting World Cup. You know, Argentina gets this, so they get this albatross, you know, off their neck, and now they can maybe go for the World Cup because, you know, Messi has played well, but just winning that final.
No, it's good. I mean, hey, it takes pressure off him. It does allow him to say that he won something with Argentina. So good for him. Yeah, you know, Messi's always fun to watch. The game had its moments, sir. It was I just couldn't believe that. Like, you know, there was never like a minute of continuous play because somebody was always falling down.
Sir, well, you've been to games in South America.
See how it's like that.
At Tony Two Gloves, do we really think Martial leaves or stays? And if he stays, can he return to top form like two seasons before?
I certainly hope so. I don't think he'll trade just because there's so many deals in play right now, like Pogba, Lingard, talking about the goalkeepers. We signed Heaton with Grant. It's very likely that someone's going to move. So, like, I just think doing a Martial as well. And I also think with Martial now having Sancho in, Rashford might go for go to get surgery, right? And miss the first 2, 3, 4 months of the season. It's good to have Martial as an option on the left, have an option up front, right? It's just like, it's good to have him. So I don't, you know, unless you're doing a swap deal where you're bringing another player who's an attacking option, I don't think we can give up another striker because we don't have that many in the queue.
No, not at all. I mean, he's plays left wing, plays number 9. And like you mentioned, that's a great point, bandwidth. Manchester United doesn't have the bandwidth to deal with all these deals. Martial stays, 100%.
Yeah.
At Jamal Mota, quote, "Sirs, the lack of acknowledgement in Ole's role in Shaw and Maguire is deafening. Without Ole, probably both wouldn't be starting and likely Shaw wouldn't be on the team. If the window," another question, "if the window ended with no more signings, how would you grade it?" So let's talk about Ole getting snubbed. Shaw, Maguire, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, Foden, and they're just, everyone loves Pep.
I know.
Pep.
That article went yesterday.
This is the journo game, dude, as far as like the narrative of like, it's like, you know, I don't. In England, the press is just like, they like people, they don't like people. Ole, clearly, nobody, like, there's this undercurrent that he doesn't deserve it.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, Villarreal, you know, I'll tell you.
Okay. Sweat's just thinking about that.
I like, but at the same time, as fans who live, breathe this club 24/7, 365, sir, you know, season ticket holders, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, what he's doing for this club is something that we've been craving ever since Sir Alex Ferguson left, which is creating that team, locking up that team, having that vision, that crew of players that are going to be the team for the long term for United. And we're starting to see that. That, to me, is more important because Ole, whether he's the guy to like win the Europa League final or win the Champions League final, he might not be the guy, but he's the guy to kind of create this squad, this cohesion, for maybe the guy who can do that. So he's got a chance. This is a big year for him. He should definitely get more acknowledgement for Haaland as well as Shaw and Maguire, but he doesn't get it because Ole, for some reason, people don't like him. I don't know. In the press.
Well, I think picking up a trophy will help. I think you're certainly onto something that like the journos pick who they like, who they don't like.
And they love Pep.
And they like made such a big deal that Pep's finger, Pep and Bielsa's fingers are all over this team, when you can argue that like that's not really the case. But hey, they like who they like. I do think that he deserves more credit because especially Luke Shaw's resurgence, right? Like Maguire, you're paying £80 million. He should be a world-class defender. Shaw, who bought as a teenager, obviously a huge price. But Ole, you have to imagine he's a part of the guy that was pushing him on. The last guy, Jose, still running his mouth about Luke Shaw. Can't help himself. Part of the brand. Number one troll in the world. But either way, it's like they're playing great football at the moment. I think Ole has a huge part to play in that. He has huge impacts where he does positively. And that's like man management. He believes in his players. They want to play for him. Sometimes, you know, my opinion is just he's not always ruthless enough with those players. But that being said, he's had a big role in the resurgence. He's got a big role to play next year because, sir, we gotta win some silverware, my man. We gotta win some silverware,
sir. We're thirsty for trophies, hungry for signings. Getting to the second part of that tweet. If the window ended with no more signings, how would you grade it?
Me first, or you first,
you
D.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably F. Sancho was supposed to be last year.
Right.
We're dying for a center back. We need a center back. Can't watch Lindelof give up that goal in Villarreal. I mean, like, if he's going to give up that goal against Villarreal, you know, you look at the defending with Demba Ba, you know, like, these things are going to matter. It's like, you want to get to the, you have a solid back line. You want to get to the quarter semis of Champions League, sir. You need, like, solid locked on. I think we got two, you know, that can do it. They're playing today. So we shall see, sir. I think you got a great harshly because Sancho was really last year's business. Next one at KC Sock Wiz. Quote, is Pogba really leaving, or is it just the media gaslighting the United fan base?
I think he wants to leave. I think he's been wanting to leave for a long time. I think it's likely he leaves this summer. It's just, I think the variable, and you brought it up earlier, is that like Eddie demanding too much money. He's going to like say like, oh, he's going to go for 70 million euro pounds or 65. It's like they're going to try and get as much money back of the initial transfer fee as possible. When in all likelihood, you just got to cut your losses, bro, and get like 45 million pounds would be a victory. If you can get a similar amount that we pay for Varane, they're basically like for like 28-year-old Frenchman. I think Varane's probably arguably a more consistent player because he's won more. But Pogba's a world-class talent. So I think like if you can get like 40 million pounds, 45, that would be a great deal. Take it.
Sir, when you see the tweets, and we've seen them, PSG wants Pogba, PSG wants Pogba.
Where are those tweets coming from? Where are those sources? Who's chirping to the press that PSG wants Paul Pogba? Is Ed Woodward?
His agent.
Exactly. Exactly. So Paul Pogba wants PSG. It's all over. So you know he wants to go. PSG are probably interested in some capacity. I think they got to keep Mbappe happy. Who knows who is arguing with who, though, on the France team. I assume Pogba and Mbappe get along great. It's a punt. It can happen. We'll see if it. These things kind of up. PSG is interested, and then it could steamroll or it could just go silent. We shall see. For me, I just don't think. Look, everyone's going to play hardball with United. Everyone's going to try to lowball us. Everyone's going to try to get us to pay too much. And I just don't know if someone can meet Eddie's price tag here. He would want more than Varane, probably. Whatever we pay for Varane, he's going to want more. And that could be the thing that scuttles the deal.
Yep.
At Man United, DYL, quote, who is going to be our next signing and when will it happen?
You get to answer this one first.
It's just deciding between Camavinga and Varane. I say Camavinga. It seems like Rene is motivated. Whatever.
I love this pod.
They're motivated. It's a lot of money, and we want them. So that is a deal to do. I think it could be done quickly. For Ron, there's going to be a ton of shithousery from Perez.
No, that's a really good point. I think Ren is ready to make a deal if we are front of the queue and we do a reasonable price. I mean, maybe they'll move fast or we'll force the game that all of a sudden it gets really advanced quickly. So that could be the one that breaks in like a week. So I'd love to see that. Here we go. Camavinga, he is a talented player. Like you said, you're probably going to need another one. But even if Pogba stays, it'd be good to have Camavinga around for a year. He can be his CDM. That'd be kind of fun to watch.
No, I don't mind. Like, regardless Pogba leaves or stays, Camavinga's got to come. I would argue that it's actually he needs to come and Pogba needs to stay so he can get the tutelage from Paul Pogba, but the French connection, that wouldn't be bad either. So either way, I'm not too concerned. Just get Camavinga in, Murtaugh, Eddie, Judge, if you're listening, get it done for the fans. We all want it. Sir, that's been the podcast. What a pod. Summer transfer up a tree. England kicks off soon. You'll hear our terrible predictions already. Sir, the American Red Devils are for fans by fans. We don't have any sponsors or anything. You want to support the podcast, check us out on Patreon. Fill out our season-ending survey. It's pinned on our Twitter. Just click on it. It takes 5 minutes. You can win some swag from the American Red Devils. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Tell them the top 10 cities last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Chennai, India. How you doing? Denver, Colorado. Columbus, Ohio. San Jose, California. Number five, Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate you. Alliston, Canada, Des Moines, Iowa, Chicago, Illinois, Georgetown, Indiana, and last but not least, Cape Town, South Africa. Appreciate everyone. All the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. Couldn't do it without you. Appreciate you. It's been a hell of a summer. We only got one in. We need a lot more coming, sir. More money.
Sir, 6 weeks to go. Transfer window craziness. Season kicks off mid-August. I mean, it's going to be absolute nuts. Let's hope we can get some deals done. We'll be keeping you posted here at the American Red Devils. And as always, sir.
Kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.